Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you. Welcome to the 8 o'clock hour. Ah, that tells you, huh? It is Falcons-Saints weekend in the city. Fans are out there tailgating, getting ready for this, and a big game coming up today. And let's throw a little buckwheat Zydeco in there just to make the Hoodats feel at home a little bit. We want them to feel at home and comfortable and come in and fix that big pot or whatever they're fixing out there to tailgate. We'll come by and sample some of that. But like I said, we got an L for you to take home with you. It's Falcons-Saints, and it all starts coming up at the top of the next hour. Get started there thing with the Wade Ford tailgate show, 11 o'clock. We have the pregame show, and 1 o'clock the kickoff here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We have the day covered for you. We got this day covered for you, and we know when the schedule is printed, this is always a day that Falcons fans, longtime Falcons fans, circle. We always circle this day because that's what we want, this particular game. We want to see our team come out and play, but you also know the rivalry. You know the fans from New Orleans are going to come. We know a good many Saints fans live and work here in our area, some who migrated after Hurricane Katrina, and they give it to us all the time on our jobs or wherever we may see them in our neighborhoods. Some at church this morning are going to be good-natured about it in church, but we're still going to mention which team that we're pulling for in the game today. And we think about how long these two teams have gone at it since their inception back in the 60s. Falcons coming into the league in 1966 and the Saints coming into the league in 1967. Now, bring it forward, the Falcons have a 52-46 advantage in this rivalry over the Saints. And so you watch and see now what happens as far as the Falcons this year and the Saints. And sometimes we have to wait a while to get a game against the Saints. We got this one coming up pretty early in the season, and the two teams are primed and ready to go at it. We know some certain cast of characters change, but some stay the same. One particular is Drew Brees. We have to do these things, and Coach Quinn had these thoughts on how you're going to have to try and contain it.
Your pass rush has to affect him due to his quickness of where to deliver the ball based on the routes and based on the coverages. But, you know, every good quarterback that you play, especially guys of his caliber who know where to go with it, that's why his completions are often so high, you have to find ways to affect him for sure.
That is Coach Quinn talking about Drew Brees and how you're going to do things to try to frustrate him and try to diffuse what he does so well for this Falcons team. You look offensively, these teams rank right behind each other, Saints 14th, Falcons 15th. You know, overall offense for the season so far, and you know that Drew Brees finds a new cast of character, talent to receivers to deal with, you know. And also, you know, the running game or passing game. We talk with Alvin Kamara and just the added energy he has infused into their offense coming to that team last year. So that's the thing. We also know that the Falcons have some valuable pieces that are missing. And as I said earlier, that's one of the things about this season so far. The thing you tried to avoid in the preseason was having any injuries. And sure enough, the Falcons have been bitten by the injury bug here to start the season and have some players that are missing in place. The thing of it is having the next wave, the next guy stand up and get ready to prepare and do the things they need to do to move things forward with this Falcons team and get this victory today against this Saints team. And a rival, they have back-to-back rivals. Having to get the win last week against the Carolina Panthers, to get the win today against New Orleans would be big for this Falcons football team always as a way to start this season. And Coach Quinn talked about dealing with the new faces in places with this team.
I've been most impressed by some of the guys that we've added. Rock solid guy Jordan being one, Stephen Means being another, that really show the traits that we like. Now it's up to us as coaches to how quickly we can get them up to speed so they can contribute.
And that is a big trick today. And that has been the thing they've worked at all week long. When someone goes down, you always say, here so many times, the next man up, the next person has to be ready to step in and do some things. There are some voids that have to be filled on both sides of the ball with this Falcons team. How quickly do you get them up to speed? How quickly do they get a chance to play and get in the mix with the regular starters, knowing there'll be more minutes this time, knowing there'll be added responsibility this time with them? How quickly do the Falcons make those adjustments and adaptations so they can still move forward and do what we expect this team to do this year, performing? So that's one thing we're watching for today with this team. The next step, how those players do who are put in those situations to do great things for this Falcons team and if they can get things done. Steve Sarkisian, of course, offensive coordinator, says look for someone else to get more playing time and more times targeted. That would be the first-round pick, Calvin Ridley.
You know, as a rookie, your overall confidence in playing football and doing it at a high level against a good defense and the way he did and some really critical plays, you know, some third-down conversions, one obviously for the touchdown. Big for him, but also big for us because the more Calvin does, the better he does, the better it is for every other guy on our offense, the better it is for me calling plays that here's another weapon that you have to defend. And so, again, I think it's just a win-win for everybody. And moving forward, he goes right back to work. The guy's got tremendous work ethic. I think he's still on the jugs machine over here right now. So he's just getting himself ready to play.
And you watch for more from him as Julio Jones was limited this week. In practice, didn't practice much and held out of practice. Of course, you know, we didn't see him during the preseason. He come out and basically hasn't missed a beat when called upon. Of course, there's some, you always want more from this guy that means so much to this offense. And yes, he makes things go, just his presence on the field because of what he forces the opposing defensive unit to do. If he is on the field, you cannot ignore him, and you're not just going to single cover this guy. You're going to go out there and try to make sure he doesn't burn you. But as we saw last week, it can create opportunities for others in the offense. Now, Julio not being there may be a concern for some of us, may be a concern for you. You in the crowd, you said, man, we wanted this guy in. He missed a lot of preseason. We want to know that he's healthy. We want to know that he's going to play. We want to know that he's going to be on the field. Well, the Falcons aren't too worried about that type thing. Offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian said this week, we've been down the road with Julio before, and we still feel like he's going to be there for us.
I've been down this road with him now before. Julio is a pro's pro, and even though he's not on the field at practice with us, the guy works at it. If he's physically ready to play, which obviously remains to be seen, I have no doubt in my mind he'll be mentally prepared to play. If it was somebody else, I'd feel probably a little bit more concerned, but there's so many banked reps, his history in the system. Again, if he's good to go, I have no doubt he'll play good football.
And that's what we're looking to see. If Julio is healthy and ready to go, see him play good football. And playing good football doesn't always mean 10, 12 catches. And I think that's what we feel like. You want to see big numbers from him. That means he's playing good football. I mean, to me, if he's there, he's making a difference and having an impact with the offense. Like I said, if he is a diversion, if he's someone that you know, as long as he's on the field, you know, the Saints defense, they have to respect that. And they have to govern themselves accordingly and try to get ready to deal with what potentially he can do and what he brings to the table. Meanwhile, like I said earlier, can this Falcons team continue to distribute, and Matt Ryan continue to distribute this football the way that he did last week? Because that is, I think, what we want to. Can they continue to finish drives once they get into the red zone? I think that's the other question. That's the things that I want to see this Falcons offensive unit do today. You know, we've seen with Montgomery, we'll have Devontae Freeman again this week. But can we still have enough of a ground game to be potent and still, you know, make a difference and move it forward and give this chance an opportunity? Because that's the true beauty of the Falcons offense when it's working the way that it should. You're going to have that balance. You're not going to be throwing every down. And that defense cannot sit back and think that you're going to throw every down. You know, when you have a guy like Tevin Coleman who can go out there and run the way he's capable of running. And we're probably going to see some Ito Smith today, a little bit more of him featured today. And, you know, this is what we want to do. We want to top 100 yards on the ground. That's usually the benchmark for success. Usually you can go 100, 150 on the ground. If you're getting that all from one person, that's nice. But if you're getting it collectively, because that means that you got possession. That means that you're holding the ball. That means you're controlling the clock. That means you're getting first downs. And it means eventually you're getting yourself – giving yourself a chance to get in scoring position. So you know what the running game means. Yeah, the pass game, some things we want to see, some other wide receivers, and Austin Hooper, oh, by the way, let's keep him in the mix as well, the tight ends. Just that's the whole thing we want to see from the Falcons offense. Now, on the defensive side, yeah, we got some people going to come in and feel some voice. And defensive coordinator Marquand Manuel talked about that this week.
The challenge comes in this. You are now in training camp with some of these guys. Where I say that is, now you got to get back to the details. You got to get back to now being from the standpoint of teaching it day one. We got to come out here and figure out how to win these games and play great defense. Turnovers came alive, but we have to be better in the red zone. You go from now understanding you getting them the third downs, you got to win those downs.
And that's important, the third downs, because you want to get off the field. But that is so hard to do with a guy like Drew Brees. Historically, you know, that's when he rises to the occasion. Third down, he finds somebody. It seems like he always does. And that's the challenge when you face. We've seen it so many times, and we know that's what he does. You sack him, impossible. You almost never sack the guy. You know, the thing of you can try to do is try to distract him and get him to hurry the pass, but the thing he does is he always gets it out, and he finds the right person. That's what he's done so much of, and that's what we're watching for today. Defensively, those third downs are going to be big, and just as Coach Manuel said, in the red zone. To make sure if they get into the red zone, they come away with three instead of six. Those are big missions for them today. Now, also, there's another phase of the game, special teams. Coach Keith Armstrong had his thoughts on what the special teams can do better today.
We've got to do a better job of handling it. We've got to get to the goal line, come back to the ball. We lost the ball in the air. Okay. So I'm seeing the flight of the ball. I'm seeing the returner, and I got to match that flight. If it's going over your head, then that's telling me to go behind him, come back and catch the ball. If it's coming to you, then I got to go to you, right? And then obviously you make a decision whether you want to catch it or not. But it's just tracking the ball in the returner.
And that's something that he says is going to be important. We watch for that when this game gets started, too. The return game, you know, it is important, and that could be huge. Flipping the field, just giving yourself a chance with some better field position to start some possessions. Those are very important things for the Atlanta Falcons team. Those are some things that are important. I think the special team, I think defense in the red zone, but the most of all on offense, I think the distribution. I think that Matt Ryan can go out and distribute the football again today, like we saw last week, is really one of the keys to this Falcons team having a successful game today. Those are my thoughts. I don't know what yours are. And leading up to our program today, we'd love to hear from you at 404-741-0929. If you're headed to Mercedes-Benz Stadium today and the things that you're watching for, yeah, we're going to go down and we know we're going to shout back and forth at the Saints fans. But what are you looking to see this Falcons team do today? We would like to know. So share it with us when you get a chance this morning. Love to hear from you at 404-741-0929. But up next, we plan on hearing from D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC and AJC.com, man who's all over the Falcons beat, and gets his thoughts before today's big game against the Saints. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Radio 92.9 The Game, Sam Crenshaw with you. Inside the Kia Studios, 9 floors up. In lovely Midtown. Beautiful sunrise outside. Everybody's headed to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Falcons Saints for the first time this season. It is the grudge match of the NFC South. And joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline to get us all set for the game is D. Orlando Ledbetter. D. Led, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam. How are you today?
Doing great, doing great. What a sports weekend. What a sports weekend we got here in town, and right in the middle of all of it is Falcons Saints. I don't know if it gets much better, D-Led.
Yeah, it's been a great weekend with the Braves clinching and the soccer team doing their thing. And now, you know, another 75,000 plus will be flowing into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a early season matchup between the NFC South rivals, the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. It'll be a great day today.
It'll be a great day. Look for a great game. Falcons, though, have some concerns with some people who are going to be missing. Talk a little bit about that and what the Falcons are going to do to counter some of that. They had some missing pieces last week. They seem to make it through okay. What about this week against New Orleans?
Yeah, they'll be down Tack McKinley and Derek Shelby, two defensive ends, and Corey Nelson, a linebacker who played 18 snaps on special teams last week. Dewey Jarvis will take over the special teams role, but more importantly, along that defensive line, we're going to see a little bit more of Brooks Reed, and we expect Stephen Means to be activated today. He was inactive. He's a guy that's been, around, kind of a reserve guy, but they believe he has some pass rush ability. So he's going to get to chase around Drew Brees today, along with, Vic Beasley needs to step up and help provide the pass rush this week.
Spending some time this morning on the waitforit.com hotline talking with D. Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. You mentioned Drew Brees. You brought him up. He's always so elusive, and he always gets the ball out before you can really get to him. Still, if they can get to him and shake him some type of way and get him on the ground, seems almost virtually impossible. But that's the thing that the Falcons defense obviously have to try to do today.
Yeah, well, what you have to do is, the coverage has to be tight enough to where he doesn't, want to take that quick shot. And then that'll allow your pass rush to get there. They've done it before in the past. When they have one, they've been able to get to him. But when they can get to him, it's because their coverage is tight. So the defensive back to actually make that thing work for him better than the upfront guys who just have to keep churning and getting away and getting upfield and getting to him. But it's certainly one of those deals where the whole pass coordination – pass defense coordination has to be correct.
When you talk about the Saints and talk about him and the fact that a local product joined that team last year and Alvin Kamara and what he has brought to them, a different dimension, talk about dealing with that today, that they do have a running game type presence now a little more so. And he's kind of like what we saw last week with McCaffrey, a guy that can do those kind of things. He kind of brings that to the table for the Saints today.
Yeah, no doubt. Alvin, I know you covered him. I went to see a lot of their games, too, at Norcross, and he was the AJC's 2012 Player of the Year. He played more of the Reggie Bush role that the Saints have, running out the backfield on long routes, dump it off to him on short routes, and he's played great in space. They're missing their in-between-the-tackles guy, Mark Ingram, who's out with the suspension. But Alvin's certainly off to a great start here in his second season and putting up some big numbers for the Saints. He's a real shifty guy. He can go between the tackles. You're not going to run him there 20 times a game, though, but certainly you want to do it a couple times just to keep people honest. And he's doing a great job, him and Mike Thomas, the Ohio State wide receiver, or putting up some like John Madden football computer numbers here early in the season.
Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at D. Orlando AJC. He has all kind of things there for you, like the Bowtie Chronicles and all those things that he loves to do each week. D-Led, talk about now this Falcons offensive unit and what they're going to face with this New Orleans defense. It seems like their defense has gotten off to a slower start. We've seen them have to kind of hang on and survive some shootouts with the Browns last week and then Tampa Bay the week before.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They've done two different things, so you don't know how Coach Dennis Allen is going to play this, the defensive coordinator down there, one of the old Dan Reed guys. But he played man against the Bucks and got burnt, lost that 48-40. And then they just played cover zones against the Browns and tried to make Tyrod Taylor beat him. He almost did. So, it's going to be a mixture of things they're going to try to do. They definitely want to get Cam Jordan moving upfield. They're kind of hurt at linebacker. But their defense and secondaries, outside of Lattimore, who's been a little shaky here early too, but he'll be ready for Julio. But their secondary can be had. So, I think they know it, and they got to kind of try to scheme around that. The Falcons should be able to move the ball against this unit here pretty clearly.
You mentioned Julio, and we didn't see him doing any work this week. Held out of practices this week, although, like I said earlier, you still have to prepare for the man if he sets foot on the field, and he's going to get their attention. Tell us about what we can expect from him today, and what represents a good day for Julio today.
Yeah, well, Julio, he's averaged, 114 against the Saints receiving in the last few, four games. So, I'll take 114 today. The folks would like to see him get into the end zone, but he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. So if he's getting that 114, getting in the end zone, that would be pretty good. He did get out there on Friday, but that's kind of the light hour practice day. It's not the big real practices of Wednesday and Thursday. But he did get back out there and, you know, is going to play. So that would certainly benefit the Falcons. If he can do all his things, then, you know, it opens up stuff for Ridley and Mohamed Sanu. And the tight end, Austin Hooper, had a really good game last week, Sam. And, you know, maybe that's something that they can start to depend on from him.
Like I said, we're spending time this morning with Dear Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you follow him at DOrlandoAJC as he keeps an eye on the NFL, especially on our Atlanta Falcons. Distribution of the football. Let's get into Matt Ryan here. You know, he had all kind of critics after the first game. Last week was more like what we saw a couple of years ago. That's our reference point. We want to see more of that where the ball was distributed. What might we see today? Can we see a continuation of that? Not just the distribution, but also finishing in the red zone.
Well, yeah, you know, they got a 4-for-4 last week and did spread it around to 8 different receivers. When they were going to the Super Bowl in 2016, that's how they operated. They moved the ball around a lot. They didn't do that in the first game, but they got so happy that Philadelphia tried to play them man-to-man that they just forced it into Julio. And, you know, that almost worked. I don't think the Saints are going to do that and play man-to-man against Julio. So we should see the ball move around to a lot of different people today. And, you know, they need to catch the ball, don't have the drops, attacking the red zone. And, you know, if the quarterback's got to run in the red zone like he did last week, you know, I don't think people want to see that. But, you know, it worked last week.
He did his best John Elway imitation. I don't want to see him do that again, D-Led.
Right.
You know, it was nice to see him score, but I'd rather not want to keep him healthy. But talk about the run game. You know, we're going to get enough of the run game to keep the balance. That's another key to this offense, is keeping that balance and having that run game just to keep the Saints' defense honest.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think Tevin Coleman is, in the 5 games where Devontae hasn't been around, he's gotten 70% of the carries, and he's also averaged, you know, 95 yards a game. So I think, you know what you're getting there. The big surprise last week was Ito Smith coming in and rushing 9 times for 46 yards to give Coleman a break. So if you can get that out of Ito Smith, who was a 4th-round pick, you know, some people didn't have him rated that high, but the Falcons did, and he's doing a good job for him here early in the season. So that was kind of a surprise after a so-so exhibition season from the Southern Miss running back. But, you know, if they can get those two guys going, then all of a sudden the Saints are off balance. They can throw their play-action passes, their rollouts, their bootlegs, and take their shot because, you know, the Saints will have to start coming up towards the line of scrimmage to try to shut down the run. So everything kind of starts with that. And they're in a good place there with Tevin Coleman running the ball.
Special teams can be very special in a game like this one, D-Led. We're talking about this being a division matchup, division rivalry. We talk about it also being just a series. For so many years, these two teams have squared off. So many times down through the years, the special teams play has made a difference. I've thought about where that may be today and what you would like to see.
Yeah, no question about it, Sam. I like the play on special teams of Justin Bethel and Marvin Hall, the two fast gunners on the punt coverage team. They get down the field and, you know, make sure that the opposition isn't able to flip it for them. And, you know, Bethel's had 3 tackles. You know, he's the all-pro that came over from Arizona, played at Presbyterian over in South Carolina his first year with the team. And you're seeing him making an impact already. Of course, the punter and the kicker are in good shape. Calvin Ridley's doing a good job on the kickoff returns. And Justin Hardy is steady on the punt returns. We want to see him break one here. You know, but he's been taking care of the ball back there, and that's why he's back there. So, you know, the Saints like to come after a punt here or there against the Falcons. You know, they had the big one that they got a statue made of when they came back after the hurricane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, special teams is always a big factor in this matchup.
Always. Quickly before I let you go, thoughts about a couple of more games around the division. Panthers are home against the suddenly hot Cincinnati Bengals off to a 2-0 start. And tomorrow night, we'll see what the Buccaneers can do with the Steelers. Thoughts about either one of those games and what we can look for?
Yeah, Cincinnati's out the gate hot, and Uncle Marvin they kept his job up there, Marvin Lewis, and they'll be here next weekend. So A.J. Green is doing his thing. They figured out how to get John Ross involved. And Coach Lewis's team's always tough in the trenches. So, and he knows how to coach. He'd like to have won some more games and gotten the playoffs, but this looks like a quality Bengals team here out of the gate. I expect them to win in Carolina. It's going to be a real tough battle for the Falcons next week. They looks like Marvin's got them back on the right track here early in this season. And it's because of, you know, guys like Geno Atkins from the University of Georgia who help hold down that defense. So that's going to be a good one. Then down in when the Bucs and the Steelers are reeling right now. They got all kind of craziness going on with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And so I want to see if the Fitzmagic carpet ride can keep going. I think they might have stumbled onto something down in Tampa. Old Coach Dirk Cutter and Coach Mike Smith might have stumbled onto something this year.
Yeah, we want to watch for that one. That's coming up in the Monday night game. D-Led, we thank you as always for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Sam. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and have a great day.
You too. Let's get over there and get a win today over Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That is D. Orlando Ledbetter. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter always at D. Orlando AJC, keeping an eye on the Falcons as they get set for the Saints coming up today. Coming up next, going to run down some other games around the National Football League and get set to hand things off at the top of the hour to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on this game day Sunday morning and on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.